Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG, whenever we feel like it, Ethan Weisenick here with you once again. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Free agency, boys. Day one. Very eventful day around the league, especially for our New York football Giants. We're going to get into it. Where do we want to start? I feel like let's start with those who have departed us. Xavier McKinney to the Packers, 17 a year. Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, 12 and a half a year. Weiss, let's start with you and get your thoughts. Let's start with Xavier McKinney, go around the horn, and then we'll touch on the former number two overall pick.
Yeah, I think Xavier McKinney, listen, it's tough when you see a 24-year-old player that sort of is really good to kind of walk out the door. You don't really have a viable replacement for him. But I think this goes to a much larger picture, and that larger picture is the philosophy of, you know, this Giants regime and how they want to build the roster. And I'm sure we'll talk about that when we talk about their additions. But it's clearly that it's not that they don't value the safety position. I think they just valued other positions more and other premium positions more. And while I think they definitely wanted to bring McKinney back, they just valued other positions more, and they had a number on how far they wanted to go. And I think really the writing was sort of on the wall when, A, they didn't franchise tag him, and then B, they didn't transition tag him either. So they, after that day, I sort of was like, okay, the probability of McKinney leaving is actually pretty high. And I think the Giants know that. They probably did him a favor not to transition tag him, didn't want to deplete his market. But at the end of the day, you know, the Giants had to turn the page on certain things. And while I think McKinney and Saquon are two different, you know, players in two different situations, I think it was evident that if the Giants were going to rebuild this thing, they were going to have to make some tough decisions and take the emotions out of it. While McKinney's a good player, homegrown talent, checks, you know, the majority of the boxes of the type of player that you want to keep, especially when you have the cap space to do so, philosophically, what the Giants want to do and how they want to build this thing, it just didn't match. And so, plus, I think, you know, we're a little bit dramatic with the McKinney thing. Early on in the season, McKinney did not look good. And you can point to different things. You can point to the relationship with Wink Martindale. You can, you know, point to the fact that the entire team didn't look good, and the offense and everything, and the injuries and everything. But I mean, there were times where McKinney simply couldn't tackle. And there are multiple highlights. So the most famous one is the one against the Cardinals and Josh Dobbs just running right over him, through him. So while McKinney did finish, you know, the season well, I go back to what I said last season early on, where I no disrespect, but I just sort of felt like the Giants had a lot of losers who couldn't. I remember that rant I went on about the defense and the losers.
Who could forget?
And you know, they just can't, you know, when the pressure's on, they don't play their best. And I'm summarizing it, but you know, that sort of factored into why I didn't overreact when, A, they didn't franchise him, B, they didn't transition tag him, and now C, let him walk. So we can talk about a lot of things, transition tag, why didn't they trade him at the deadline, but at the end of the day, this is not something I'm going to cry about or lose sleep over, to be honest.
No, I agree completely. I think a lot of people overreacted, and to be honest, I don't know why. I think you touched on a lot of good points. One being his, I'll call it immaturity. I think a lot of the times we forget that he's only 24 years old, which for a guy who's already done with his first contract, like, still pretty young. Throughout the season, I mean, you can go back to the playoff run where he broke his hand during the ATV accident. Got to have better judgment than that. Some tackling issues, some headbutting with the defensive coordinator. And, you know, when it comes to that, there's three sides to every story. There's his side, her side, and the truth. And when it comes to McKinney and, you know, the defensive staff, I think there's probably some blame on both sides. He started the year off rough. I think at his peak with the Giants, he was a good player, not a great player. And you don't pay good players $17 million a year. One of my best friends from college is a Packers fan. He texted me after the deal. He said, "Hey, like, what are your thoughts?" I said, "Honestly, you guys overpaid. It's probably going to be fine. You hope that he's only 24 and it, trajectory is only up from there. But you're betting on what he might do, not what he has done." And, you know, again, not he's based in New York. So he's based in New York. So, you know, he watches a little bit of Giants and he tended to agree with me there. But you're right. The writing was on the wall when they didn't transition tag him. They didn't franchise tag him. Immediately, people went to the spin zone of, oh, well, they're going to let him test the market and he's going to find out that he's not going to get what he wanted. And he might get, no, like, he was done the second they didn't use a tag on him. And it's totally fine. The Giants are in a position where they cannot be spending and wasting their cap on luxury positions. And as of right now, the safety position for them is a luxury position. They went out, they spent on the offensive line, they traded for and spent on the defensive line. It's refreshing because we have management that finally understands you win in the trenches. The Giants desperately needed help in the trenches on both sides of the ball, and they got it. And that's where the money came from. You're not giving Xavier McKinney $17.5 million a year if you want Brian Burns, if you want help on the offensive line. So he's gone. We move. I'm not crying over it. I don't think it's a huge deal.
You got to prioritize. Ultimately, yeah. That's what this comes down to. And I think that's the story of the day, that the Giants have really, I don't want to say they've had their hand kind of dealt to them, but a lot of the decisions Shane had to make last year were out of his control. You know, I don't think there's a world where they could have realistically walked away from the running back who we're going to touch on, or Jones. I think this was the first real opportunity Shane had to kind of fully make the roster in his image in the way he sees fit. And part of that is positional value. You know, you look at those Bills teams and how they're constructed. Safety is not a priority. They had good safeties, but they were cost effective in how they got them. You know, McKinney's a solid player. And for a team like Green Bay, he's a nice addition. That's a group that's on the upswing. That's a young defense. That's an inexpensive team that has a lot of cap flexibility that can afford to splurge.
When your young quarterback just had the year that he had and he's still on his rookie deal. There you go.
You can splurge on a luxury like a free safety on a defense that's upswinging. You know, the difference between McKinney and Darnell Savage to the Giants isn't that big of a deal. To a team like the Packers that's going to be in those wars with Detroit and San Francisco and Philly going forward, they need a safety like X. So it makes sense for both sides. And it's the same thing with Saquon, you know, and we're going to get there in a minute, but it makes more sense for the Giants to have their number. They made an offer and they walked away because they knew they weren't going to get the value commensurate with what they were going to pay. And ultimately, you're right. Whenever you go to free agency, you're going to overpay by a couple million no matter what, because when guys get to free agency, that's their one real chance to cash out, unless you're Kirk, in which case it's every couple of years. And then you Hall of Fame bag getter. And we'll touch on teams around
him and Leonard Williams, but yeah,
Kirk's the best bag getter in the history of this league. His agent should be in the Hall of Fame. $300 million in career earnings by the time this contract with Atlanta is over. Hall of Fame.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah, I think, Nick, you brought a good point. I think this is a really good signing for the Packers because, like you said, they have a good defensive line. They have, you know, a young quarterback that's ascending, and they have players on their offense. They were a playoff team last year, you know, won a playoff game. I think for them, they get a really good player. And the thing about McKinney is the age, and then, you know, you're paying for a guy that you think he can get better. It's not what he did in the past. It's what you think he can do going forward. So I think it's a very good deal for the Packers. I think for the Giants, it's just a matter of you got bigger.
It's also
needs.
A saturated safety market too.
Yes. Yeah.
Like there's going to be cheaper, more, there's going to be more cost effective options for you.
Yeah.
And safety generally translates well. You know, like look at Jesse Bates, went from Cincinnati to Atlanta and he was still great last year. I feel Jeremy Chinn is sitting out there right now. That's a talented player who probably needs a change of scenery and could pop off. Safety is a position where there's turnover. Those guys are expensive, and teams that are kind of middle of the pack or worse, they have to prioritize where they spend, and safety is a luxury.
There's also a connection between McKinney and the Packers pass game coordinator.
Yeah.
Derek Ansley, I think, coached McKinney at Alabama. So it's, to me, I look, this is for Green Bay. I really like it. For the Giants, it's just a matter of you got more pressing needs than paying $16-17 million for safety.
Homegrown, it's worth it for the Giants to know that, and for Green Bay, you know, good players can have better careers in other landing spots. And right. I imagine we're about to start talking about Saquon. It's the same exact thing. Go get paid, take care of what you got to take care of. I understand, you know, there's no hard feelings about this. This is your one chance to get that life altering money. You got to do it.
Well, I reckon that Saquon Barkley is not dead to you.
If anything, he's more alive to me.
I respect him being honest for the first time. Like, genuinely. Right, seriously.
Yeah.
Let's talk Saquon Barkley.
Let's talk Saquon Barkley.
3 years, $37.75 million. I think there's incentives that it could go up to 46. It seems like it's very similar to the deal the Giants offered him last year. I know the guarantee dollars are pretty close. I think you could take what we said about Xavier McKinney and sort of attach it to this conversation. But at the end of the day, I want to just point out, from the moment that Saquon Barkley was drafted number two overall, Ethan and I, we've talked about this, you know, for hours and hours. It was the wrong
days
pick at the time. It was evident after the first year, even though he was so great in his first year. It was evident after the second year, the third year when he tore his knee up, the fourth year, the fifth year. Saquon Barkley was never going to be successful with the Giants. It was never going to happen. This was a marriage that was going to fail from the start. Everything that you heard of why Saquon is so great had nothing to do with the football aspect of it, meaning he was never going to impact games for the Giants where it could propel them to contending for a Super Bowl. He is a branch, not the actual tree. And for them to finally take the emotions out of it and to finally come to the realization that, hey, it doesn't make sense for us to make this commitment, regardless how we feel about the running back position, pay running backs, don't pay running backs. It just didn't make sense to keep Saquon Barkley here. It was not, if they would have made that commitment to him, the next 2 years would have just been wasted. It would have been an expensive player that was great in the past, that's, you know, on the decline. They had no offensive line that could block for him. They had uncertainty at quarterback. You just can't build your roster. You can't build your offense around a running back. And if you're asking for evidence, just look at the last 5 years. So to me, I applaud the Giants. We've been texting about this all this afternoon. I really thought Howie Roseman was trying to bait Joe Shane, scare Joe Shane, call his bluff, and basically like leak all this stuff about how he's in heavy pursuit of Saquon Barkley, only to see if the Giants were going to cave and give him that deal that he got with the Eagles. But kudos to the Giants, man. And for the Eagles, look, they feel like they're a running back away. My counter argument is that I don't think their running game has been a problem.
It's been good.
So could Saquon take him to the next level? Sure. What's that next level? Back to the Super Bowl? I mean, I don't know how this moves the needle for the Philadelphia Eagles. The same questions I have about the Eagles, you know, prior to the start of free agency are still there about whether or not they can get back to the Super Bowl. So while Saquon is a, you know, tremendous player, a great player, you know, I look at the Eagles and the running game was not the problem. So I'm interested to see how they use them. Do they make them the vocal point of their offense? You're paying them $12.5 million, which is a lot for a running back. How does he fit in? How is this going to work? Are they trying to take more off, you know, Jalen Hurts? I'm interested to see how this thing plays out because, like I said, I don't think running the ball was a problem in Philadelphia.
I agree. And for Howie Roseman, who's been a very, dare I say, excellent general manager, quite a confusing move to use whatever money you had to bolster your running game. I mean, to me, it makes no sense for them. I'm glad they did it. As a Giants fan, you're paying $12.5 million for an oft-injured running back who's done nothing but lose, has never been impactful in division games for the team that you stole him from. And it's truly a blessing that he has moved on, that we can move on. The nightmare is over. The reminders are over. And just another sign that this management team is more competent than the previous one.
What does it say about the ownership?
They let Shane have control.
Yeah, but he had control last year too. Like, I feel like Nick, you sort of like let him off the hook a little bit for the Jones contract in your previous, not a monologue, whatever. When we were going around the horn here,
yeah,
like
you one fuck up. I mean, I feel that's fair. You get a fuck up. Yeah, you don't get two, but
yeah, no GM is going to bat 1,000.
Yeah,
and apparently not even Howie Roseman. So we move on. That's it. It's over. We can stop talking about it. It's finally done. And now we can all band together and root against him, not just the intelligent portion of the fan base. It's going to be great.
I feel like at this point, people are so caught up in the idea of, well, who's going to be on the team and who's going to be good. I don't think they're getting the point. You know, that's missing the forest for the trees. It's not about this team this upcoming season.
More likely, the quarterback's going to be.
More likely than not, this team is going to stink this year on offense. At the very least, more likely than not, you know, maybe they get lucky and they're able to trade up and they get a May or a Daniels, and then we have a different conversation about maybe they have a pretty high ceiling. But
right.
If they're in the veteran quarterback market, we know they met with Russ. We know they may or may not touch base on some of the other guys that are out there. More likely than not, the offense is not going to be great next year. Bringing back Barkley for his age 27, 28, and 29 seasons in an offense that is not situated to run the ball effectively, that is going to be running into loaded boxes against teams who expect him to be the focal point of the offense, it's never going to work. To Weiss's point, he was doomed from the start. There is not a single thing he could have done here other than maybe tone down the corniness to make it work better, you know. And the corniness is just like kind of like something that drove us up the wall as people who were skeptical of the pick to begin with. Right. But like the snorting emojis, the 100, like, dude, we're 3-13. I don't care. At some point, it's got to be about the team. And
yeah,
now we're in it now, you know. And this is all stuff that probably should have happened last year as far as transitioning, correct, remodeling the roster, but they were better than they expected. And now they're going to take their medicine, you know, and we still haven't touched on the Brian Burns edition, which we'll definitely talk about. But this is what you wanted. You know, we went the pendulum swung completely the other way from Gettleman, where it's we are operating under the assumption that we have we are moving forward. We are not going to get caught up on what the Giants do. You know what Weiss always says about losing respectably as opposed to trying to be as competitive as possible. We're not doing that anymore. We are going to take our medicine. If we suck, so be it. But I am not going to tolerate not having a direction anymore.
Right. And they have a direction.
Yeah.
All right. So transitioning a little bit.
Also with the one of
Yeah, go ahead.
The Giants offense was 30th with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
So they're 31st without him. Like, I mean, like we have to, like the reaction to this.
Not an impact position.
It's not. It doesn't impact the results of games. What it does is it's supposed to take a team to the next level. But the problem is the Eagles running game was already top notch. It was already great. You know, they had a good thing going. That's why, if he goes there and he rushes for 1,000 yards, and he has a good season for a running back, like, what does that do for the Eagles?
Nothing.
It makes them a little more dynamic. That's really it.
They had a great committee last year with Swift and Gainwell.
But
and
Swift wasn't nearly as efficient or explosive as a runner as Sanders was the year prior to that. So that's the argument. You know, the argument is they took a step back as an offense last year, and they feel that's partly because Hurts took a step back because the running game wasn't as efficient as it was 2 years ago. And the logic is,
you to me, that's more on the coaching staff, but
keep going. I agree with that.
I
definitely agree with you that they struggled to kind of adapt and find that second year. Cause 2 years ago when they came out in their base alignment with, you know, with Sanders, Hurts, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Goddard, and said, stop us. They would load up the box, dare you to stop the run. And then it was man on the outside with Barkley. In theory, they're going to be able to do that. But it's on the coaching staff to put them in a position to succeed. And Sirianni's really going to be on the hot seat this year, which is crazy to say about a coach who's gone to the playoffs.
It's just nuts that they retained him. But like to your point, Nick, you know, the only argument I can think of is, all right, well, now we have an every down back. We don't have to go with this rotation, and that's what's going to make us more dynamic. But then you're relying on a guy who's been constantly injured to stay healthy for 17.
He doesn't have to
the wear and tear
anymore either. I mean, you watched some of those runs last year on the Giants where 4 years ago, he's gone.
Yeah,
but he's tackled away from behind. Yeah.
That's the other thing is he an every down back?
Well, he can't pass protect still.
Yeah, I mean, he's still catch, but he's not good in protection.
Can't pass protect. He's only had one healthy season in this entire career, or two healthy seasons, I think his rookie year and the year they made the playoffs a couple years ago. He's had two healthy seasons the entire year. He's 27 years old, a lot of wear and tear. He's got the knee injury. He's got multiple ankle sprains, high mid ankle sprains. So every down back, this is a guy the Eagles are going to gift the ball to 300 times, 400 times during the regular season.
And another try to do.
And then another 100 times during the playoff. I mean, to me, I just.
You don't pay a guy that much if you're not going to do it. Listen, we agree that it makes no sense, but I don't see why they're giving him that kind of money unless that's how they plan to deploy him.
To me, I think the biggest loss for the Eagles, you talk about who they lost, what they lost. When they lost Shane Steichen, we saw the real
Nixon
guy. And so maybe they think, okay, add more talent. Maybe it makes Nick Sirianni's job easier. But
as long as they have Jeff Stoutland, I will be worried about the Eagles. That's what I'll say. As long as they've got the voodoo offensive line.
They'll still be able to run the ball. I expect Saquon Barkley to be a great fantasy player for them. If you're playing a fantasy right next year, I take Barkley. Yes, absolutely. But at the end of the day, winning and losing, I just don't see how this changed their trajectory. They're not now, you know, anything more than what they were before they had Barkley.
I agree. All right, let's go back to the Giants.
Yes.
Let's go sort of reverse order. So running back out, running back in, Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
I really like the signing. Maybe a little bit rich, but again, you know, you're paying for a solid veteran. He is familiar with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll from his time in Buffalo. He went to Houston. Nick, you're making a face. Is that incorrect?
No, I'm Javon Kinlaw signed with the Jets. That's what my reaction was.
Interesting. Okay. He goes to the Texans. He effectively steals the starting job from Damian Pierce, who had a very promising rookie year. I was very high on Pierce. His rookie season, by all accounts, everything coming out of camp was, this guy's the real deal. He had a great rookie year. And then Singletary comes in and basically steals the job from him. So, you know, I think Giants are clearly going committee. Don't really love Eric Gray. Curious to see how they use him this year. I think Singletary is the lead back as of now. And I don't think it's going to be any surprise when the Giants use a mid-round pick on a running back either. But they're very clearly going the cost-effective route, running back by committee, as they should have for the last 5-6 years. And that's that. Happy he's here. Solid vet.
Yeah, he won't jump off the page. He's not particularly explosive, but he knows how to play professional football. He won't be a liability. There's nothing really to complain about here.
No twinkle toes between the tackles kind of guy.
And they're going to add a running back in the draft 100%. I would be shocked if they didn't draft a running back.
Weiss?
Yeah, he's only 26 years old. I didn't know that. I thought he was closer to 30. But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this is the type of running back you add. I think since week 9 last year, he led the league in rushing.
He was a stud. I had to add him on my team, on my dynasty team, because he stole Damian Pierce's job.
I did have him on my fantasy team too. Yeah, yards from scrimmage since 2019. For those that's counting at home, Saquon Barkley, 5,283. Devin Singletary, 5,213. So,
yeah. Injuries obviously factor into that, but point still stands.
This is also a good one too from Next Gen Stats. Devin Singletary gained more rushing yards than expected in 11 games in 2023, tied with Christian McCaffrey for the most among running backs.
Solid.
We're going to recreate a running back in the aggregate. We do not need one good running back.
Exactly. Yes.
We can have three average ones as a bad team. It's not going to make that much of a difference.
Although Devin Singletary, we talk about three down back, the man can catch passes out of the backfield. He can run the ball. And he's a good pass blocker, too, by the way. So, good player. I think it's a little rich, too, like Ethan says, but it's not a contract that I'm going to be up in arms about. Once I saw them we heard they were interested in Tony Pollard and DeAndre Swift, which, by the way, the DeAndre Swift contract, I mean, come on. But anyways.
That's why you play for the Eagles in your walk year. You play for the Eagles, you cash out.
Right. Once they didn't touch that $8 million, I said, okay, you can expect I expected their max to be around that $6 million per year. And I think Singletary came in at 5.5. So I think it's only $9 million guaranteed. So, yeah, I think it's a good signing. Really, I was really surprised only 26, by the way. That I feel like he's been in the league a lot longer than that.
Speaking of 26-year-olds, so we just had running back out, running back in. We also had Giant to Packer and Packer to Giants. John Runyon, Giants offensive guard signing.
Sprinkle a little Eagles on there too. John Runyon, his dad, Michael Strahan's arch nemesis.
Yep.
Yeah.
John Runyon, got some stats here. This is per our friend Bobby Skinner. 2021 allowed 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits and 15 pressures. 2022, 3 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, 11 pressures. Last season, 2 sacks, 6 quarterback hits, 13 pressures. He was the 7th ranked guard in pass blocking efficiency in 2023. And this was sort of an eye-popping stat as well. Let me find it. John Runyon's 3.61 seconds time to pressure ranked 2nd among all guards in 2023 with 200 plus pass snaps. So quite obvious, this is a big upgrade for the Giants. The guard market was going to be absolutely crazy this year. We saw some big contracts. I think Hunt got what, 100 mil? So
20 million a year.
Yeah.
For Robert Hunt.
I really like this signing. This is a really solid addition. Only 26 years old. And again, Joe Shane building up the trenches. Love it.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember I was looking him up earlier because I was recording something when all the transactions were happening earlier in the day. And somebody said in my ear, oh, the Giants signed John Runyon. And I'm like, isn't John Runyon like 54 years old? And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. His son is in the league. I remember his son being pretty good at Michigan, playing tackle at Michigan, and then getting kicked inside once he got to the league because he's a little bit on the smaller side, shorter arms. You can never have enough bodies, as last year demonstrated, especially with this team, how cursed the offensive line is. You can never have enough bodies, whether or not he's significantly better than what they've had in the past. We'll see. I think a lot of what will help the team as far as offensive line play is being less predictable. And that's something we won't really get a good understanding of until we know who the quarterback's going to be, what the personnel around said quarterback is going to be. So, you know, this isn't earth shattering, but he's a solid NFL player. I have no qualms about adding depth. They need it.
Yeah, I think he's a starter.
Definitely a starter.
It's tough because I really wanted them to make that big splash with the interior. Mike, what is it? Onwenu? Did I say that correctly?
I'm not the pronunciation guy here.
Yeah, so I really thought that, I mean, that was sort of my guy in terms of free agency. I thought.
And he stayed.
Play tackle and
guard. Stay with the Patriots.
Good player, doesn't get hurt. I don't know, man. It's. When you're just expecting and rooting for them to really make that big splash. I mean, obviously running is an upgrade from what they had last year. I mean, Nick, you're an upgrade from what they had last year on the interior of that line. But I'm going to take a we'll see approach. Wasn't that good in Green Bay. I understand the pass blocking stuff, but wasn't a good run blocker. The fact that he's John Runyon's son, pretty cool. John Runyon, Eagle legend. But I'm a little bummed out. I understand that the market was what it was, and I understand they wanted to make two signings, but I really, really, and this is something I've been saying for years, man, you have to solidify that interior offensive line. And while it paid big, you know, big money. I mean, not big money compared to what the other guards got, but, you know, $10 million a year, still a lot of money. I would have want more of a solidified player than what they got.
If that makes sense. I get it. I think, dare I take the optimistic approach here?
Go ahead.
You just spent high draft capital on John Michael Schmitz.
Yeah.
If he develops into a good center, and John Runyon comes in here and he's even an average guard.
They're throwing a lot of ifs in there already for yourself.
I'm just saying, I told you this is the optimistic approach. Andrew Thomas, top five.
Right. Just stay healthy.
Maybe they use that second round pick on a guard. And then all of a sudden, Andrew, how old is Andrew Thomas?
25, 25,
I think.
Yeah. 27, I think.
All right. So
25.
Yeah. 25. So he's 25. You get a rookie offensive guard, a second year center. John Runyon's only 26. And then you just pray that Evan Neal can be average. Like, they're young. They're a young group, which I like. So you hope that they stay healthy, that they develop together. I don't hate this approach. Like, they can't just go out there and spend a gazillion dollars. You know, they're going to free up some cap space. My assumption is that they're going to restructure Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence, free up another 25 mil. But like you said, so these contracts were outrageous. And I think that this was a good value contract, one that could pay off big time. So, is he going to be a top five guard? No. But he's 15 times better than what they had last year. And you just sort of hope that that right side can just gel together. Really, stable. All falls once again on Evan Neal. Like,
that's really
what it boils down to.
They're going to give Neal every chance to succeed because they don't want to have to move
him. I don't think so. I think he's on a very short leash.
You think that Jermaine Illuminor contract?
I do, yes.
Bodes is the end of Neal at right tackle?
I don't think it's the end, but I think the leash is a lot shorter than what I thought. I now believe that
Maybe they move Evan Neal to left.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was just about to say, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see some Evan Neal at guard. Because that contract.
They probably try it at camp.
Yeah, that's not a swing tackle contract. That is a, you might be competing for a starting job. And I don't think it's like he has familiarity with the new offensive line coach. I'm interested to see how this summer goes for Evan Neal. He's recovering from ankle surgery.
All eyes on Neal.
Yeah.
Again.
But in this situation, you're hoping that Evan Neal figures it out. It's, hey, Evan Neal, you're on a short leash. If it doesn't work at tackle,
it's sink or swim. This is it.
Yeah, this is it. But that's the thing. It's sink or swim. It's always sink or swim, but it's now like you don't have a lot of time in the pool, man. Like, if this doesn't work, your ass is going to the inside. And then if that doesn't work, I mean, who knows what goes on after that. But that second signing was really eye-popping to me more than the Runyon thing.
He is a cool story, though.
Yeah, I actually like that signing more than the Runyon signing, to be honest with you. And I like the Singletary signing more, too.
Well, I mean, for those who don't know, he's British.
He is. And he's also from New Jersey.
What's that?
Isn't he from New Jersey? I haven't done his Wikipedia search yet, but
I don't know, but his first ever NFL game was Giants Dolphins at Wembley Stadium.
2007, the first game in the UK.
Yeah, and that's when he fell in love with the game.
Yeah.
So
do you know who the Dolphins quarterback was? Nick, do you know? You're a historian.
2007?
Yeah.
Pennington?
No.
Cleo Lemon. Pennington was 2 years later.
Cleo Lemon.
That's not a real person.
It is. Look it up. I just said that because I have the Giants 2007 Super Bowl DVD.
I do remember them play. That was the first London game. That I remember.
Eli Manning, quarterback sneak for a touchdown.
Yeah, that I remember.
Yes. Yeah, so when we talk about Brian Burns, which I can't wait to talk about, I am going to...
Let's talk about it now.
All right, Brian Burns.
Home run hitter.
This is...
Shout out to me, by the way.
Yeah, I was about to say.
The People's Insider. The People's Insider strikes again. Different
Ethan was first. Ethan was first on it. I mean, I think you texted me like 4 days ago about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was... I was surprised. I didn't think that they would do this year. I thought that this wasn't the year to do that. I didn't think they were going to do it. But
so let's pause and unpack that. Yes. I want to unpack that.
Yes.
Very mixed signals here from the Giants.
Not about though.
The quarterback position regarding this move. Let me just unpack this real quick.
Okay, so you're going to connect this to the quarterback?
Yes.
Okay, because I thought you were going to connect to something else, and I wholeheartedly disagree.
Well, what did you think I was going to connect
to? I thought you were going to connect to like the philosophy of them, you know, parting ways with two locker room guys. Okay,
continue. No, I don't think that's related at all. Related to them building the trenches, absolutely, but we'll talk about that. So I don't know what this says about the quarterback position, because I told you guys about Russ. I think that they thought Russ was a lock. Like,
really?
They were connected.
Please, go on. I'm very curious about this now.
What do you mean?
Why you think that was a lock and it didn't come together?
Well, I was told that they thought that there was over a 50% chance that Russ was going to sign with them. Now,
why? Why over the Steelers?
Because, well, first of all, I'm just telling you what I'm told. All right. Don't ask me, you know, all these
things. Sorry.
Second of all, the Giants were connected to Russ before he wound up in Denver.
Yeah.
Okay. So that connection was there previously. Different administration. I get it. But there was something there. Second, why the fuck would like Sierra want Pittsburgh over New York for a year? The money was going to be comparable. I understand that they have a better team. I understand that he was pretty much a lock to be the starting quarterback in both positions. The advantage, obviously, is Pittsburgh is more established. They have a more established coach. They don't do losing records. So that's really like the only thing that I can think of as to why he would choose Pittsburgh over New York. But they lost out on really like the only veteran that I could see coming in and making the offense operable, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brissett goes back to New England. Like, they're not fucking shelling out for Kirk. And they have the sixth pick in the draft.
Jimmy G sign anywhere yet?
No. And I doubt that they go that direction. But point being, you're spending big money on a defensive end or an outside linebacker, however you want to define him. Does that mean that Dan Jones is a post June 1st cut to make room for another vet that comes in? Or does that mean that they're fairly confident that someone's going to fall to them at six, because you're giving up your second round pick, not even Seattle? What were you holding up number three?
So I was going to let you finish, but there's three theories that I have, and you can
okay, well, the quarterback. I'm almost done, but basically, like, if you're giving up the higher of the second round pick, you either have a really good feeling that one of the quarterbacks that you like is falling to you at six, or you're confident that you know you can pair that Seattle second with next year's first or next year's second to like move up two spots if your guy falls. But I was also told that Shane didn't want to part with both second round picks because it's such a deep draft at wide receiver and offensive line. So the two possibilities that really remain are hope that your guy falls to you at six, or you're really just going to wait the Bears out and see how cheap you can get Justin Fields for a year. So I like everyone's focusing on like, you know, the draft picks that were traded and the money and this, that, and the other thing. Like, I really do think that this says a lot about what they plan to do at quarterback. I just can't figure out what.
I don't think they have an answer on that either. I think
because I truly think that they thought that they were getting Russell Wilson.
I also think they are very determined, even if it's not feasible, they're not going to stop letting us know that, hey, we're trying to move up in the draft because we know, you know, we need to improve this position.
And let me just say real quick, all this shit connecting the Giants to McCarthy, the more that comes out, the less I believe it. Because this administration, like, okay, it doesn't take a fucking brainiac to figure out that they're done with Daniel Jones. Like, obviously, they're done with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, but they were telling anyone that listened in Indianapolis.
Exactly. So. But like, for a very specific player to keep getting connected, there's no way that that's a leak. Like, that is just pure speculation, because this is the same organization that's responsible for Kayvon Hayes football, and then they took him at five. So,
but Ethan, I think that's the, I don't think that's just the Giants. I think the entire league is now high on. I mean, I've seen people say,
I agree. That I'm saying it, specifically, like, he just keeps getting linked to the Giants.
The Giants are behind the Drake May dip too. Don't keep that third eye open.
That I believe that 100%. So, Weiss, go ahead with your theories.
Yeah, well, there's three theories I have. Number one, I think they're still willing to move up, and they're willing to dip more into future draft picks than they were before. Like, I think that now they're okay with saying, hey, we're going to, if we got to go into 2025 or the 2026 bucket, we're going to move up. Number two, and this is something that I've been saying for months now, maybe the one guy or two guy that they like, like, let's say they like Caleb Williams and Drake May, and they're not as high on Jaden Daniels and JJ McCarthy, because I think now it's a four quarterback in the top 10 thing. It's no longer just
three. I think it's four in the top five.
Yeah. And I think maybe they only like two of those guys, and they've come to the realization that they're just not going to be able to get two of those guys. So they've essentially said, hey, if they fall to us, they fall to us. But, you know, we simply can't get the guy that we want. And the third option is maybe they've, based on their intelligence, the information that they've gathered, maybe they think, and this is where the Drake May theory comes in, where now all of a sudden he's falling. Maybe now they believe that they can sit at six and they'll get the guy that they want. Maybe there's three guys, four. They like all four guys, and they think, you know, that whether it's, you know, the guy that's third on their list or fourth on their list is going to fall to them at six, and they won't have to, you know, give up those second round picks. So they might just have to part with a third round pick to move up a spot or two spots. And then the fourth option is, and you can't rule this out, maybe they don't, there's just one guy that they like, and that guy's going number one overall, and they don't want anyone else, and they're not going to take a risk on him, and they'd rather just continue to build this roster. And that's why you see the Russell Wilson stuff. That's why you're going to see them potentially look at other, you know, quarterbacks that can come in that are not just, you know, backups, right? They're actually guys that can compete for a starting job. So it's an interesting dilemma. I want to see how it plays out, but as I've said from the get-go, I'm not forcing a quarterback here. I think there's a lot of really good players. And if three quarterbacks go in the top three, like many are expecting, and a fourth goes, I mean, the Giants could get themselves a really, really good player, whether it's
100%.
Or another guy on their offensive line, which I'm not in favor for, but there are going to be a lot of really good players at six for the Giants. So while I understand everybody wants a quarterback and everyone thinks that the Giants need to draft a quarterback no matter what, I'm not there yet. And the Justin Field thing is something that we talked about when we did our last pod. I'm not someone that's against that. I think Justin, if there is something to unlock, I think Brian Daboll could unlock it. So that's my thing on that.
I'm not opposed to Fields. What do you think a potential contract would look like, though, for him? Because I'm talking about in terms of years. The money individual doesn't particularly
matter. Well, they would just do the fifth-year option.
No. The thing is I never believed that Justin Fields was going to cost a second-round pick or a third round. Like, I never believed that. I always believed – because if the Bears were parting ways with Justin Fields, it's like – why would a team give up a second round pick for a guy that the only way you get that fifth year is if you're willing to pay him $20, $26, $27 million. I never saw it that way. To me, he was always a 1 year rental, and he hasn't been that good enough to garner a second round pick. That's why I never was on board with that. I think he's going to go for a day three pick, you know?
Yeah. Fourth or fifth.
Maybe it's a conditional pick where if he stays with a team that pick goes up to, you know, a fourth or whatever. I'm just, you know, spitballing here. But I'm in favor of this. Like, I'm in favor of looking at this Justin Fields thing and seeing if you can unlock something that's there. Has his
now,
career
now been... that we know the price has fallen and what other options are probably off the board, I'm okay with the experiment.
Who else do you think is in on Fields? I was having this conversation earlier. We know Vegas is probably out.
Teams that want a backup quarterback.
New England brought in Brissett. I mean,
the Eagles were floated as a backup.
The Colts, go to Indianapolis, be the backup to Anthony Richardson, and see if Stan Steichen can resurrect your career. But what are those teams willing to give up for a quarterback that's going to be their backup?
I'm trying to think of just who else could possibly be in the mix, because three or four of the landing spots came off the board today. They wouldn't trade him in division to Minnesota, who desperately needs a quarterback. I mean, they're looking at Jimmy G or Sam Darnold, God help them. I don't know who else would be in, and I think, I was always more on the side of, I don't think Fields is probably a guy who can go crazy and win you anything, but he's better than what they've had, and he's probably better what they can get. I mean, there's probably a world where this makes a lot of sense, and I think he's probably the best of a bunch of bad choices. I really don't want them to take Daniels or Bo Nix or Penix at six. So,
let's leave Jaden Daniels' name out of that.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean Jane Daniels. I meant J.J. McCarthy.
There you go.
Yeah, I meant J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or Michael Penix. I don't want any of those guys at their current selection.
Don't put the second best quarterback in that conversation.
No. I wouldn't dare. Jaden Daniels, I'm very high on. At the very least, if they take Jaden Daniels, that's their swing.
Right. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. If you go out swinging and the one issue with that is, and we can probably touch on this as we look forward into the decision.
Yeah, I don't want to make this about the draft, but go ahead.
No, it won't be about the draft. It'll be about the team. Do you think that if they're in quarterback, I don't want to say hell again, do you feel that that's going to incentivize them to take a guy? Do you feel that, we're looking at the draft now, and this isn't about the pick specifically, but we're looking ahead at the draft now. And if they take a quarterback, that kind of sets the clock. I don't want to say it resets it entirely, but it slows them down. It buys them time. Do you feel that I don't want to say they've earned the opportunity to kind of see this through this transitionary period? Do you think there's going to be enough patience for that though? Because we're talking about two or 3 years from now.
Yeah, they made the playoffs in their first year, won a playoff game. Something this organization hasn't done in a decade. First, for people to come out here and start putting people in the hot seat, because we got to talk about Brian Burns, but I hate to get off topic, but the fact that, look, Ethan, I know you're not going to like this, but they had no choice but to bring back Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. They couldn't part ways with them after that year. I'm sorry.
They could have very easily let Saquon. Sure. They did it this year. They could have let Saquon walk and given.
Yeah, but this year was different.
They
went 6-11. You're right. You can take your victory lap. I'm not saying you're wrong.
It's not a victory lap. I'm just saying, you're saying, they had no choice. There's a happy medium here. Keep one.
But they couldn't. They had to bring both back.
No, they didn't.
They had to.
They Saquon walk.
It wasn't a logic thing. That's the thing. But it was purely emotional. Ethan, I agree with
Ethan,
you.
Ethan, 2024, what happened in 2023 is why they let Saquon Barkley walk. But what happened in 2022, the fact that they made the playoffs, the fact that they won a playoff game, they could not have part ways. No matter what, I understand. Look, there's a lot of people that were right. I'm not one of them. And they can take their victory lap. I'm not here to say that you're wrong. All I'm simply saying is the Giants or that front office had no choice but to bring back Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. If you want to argue that they should have paid Barkley and then, franchise Jones, fine. But they could not have let both those guys go. I will debate anybody on that. It's to me, like I said, what they accomplished that year, winning the playoff game, they had to bring the quarterback back. They had to bring that star player back. They had no choice but to do so. The fact that they were able to franchise him and still bring him back.
Did we see this notification come through?
Oh, about Tyrod to the Jets?
Yeah.
Wow.
They need a real backup. They at least admitted they need a real backup.
Yeah, wow. See, that just adds another wrinkle to the quarterback thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't want to.
Whatever. I'm just going to, you already said I wasn't going to agree, and that's correct.
Yes, but that's fine. All right. We got to talk about Brian Burns because this is a.
Yes.
All right. The New York Giants acquire Brian Burns and give him a 5-year. It's not $150 million. It's $141 million extension. Essentially, if you want to look at it in real time, it's a 3-year, $90 million deal. And then after that, we'll see. This is a 25-year-old, not elite pass rusher, but
very good.
Very good to great pass rusher who is your prototypical guy, the bend. I mean, just a great, great player. They acquired him for the 39th pick and I think a fifth round pick in 2025. To me, this goes to their philosophy. Joe Shane has been telling us since the moment he walked in the door how he wants to build this team. He spent the number 5 pick on a pass rusher in Kayvon Thibodeau. Then he spent the 7 pick on an offensive tackle in Evan Neal. Then a year later, he took John Michael Schmitz in the second round. Then he paid, he paid Dexter Lawrence. He paid Andrew Thomas. Okay. Then now he's traded for Brian Burns, giving him a big contract. He's telling us how he wants to build the team. Again, the results have to get better, right? We need Evan Neal to be better. We need that third round pick, I think, that they use on Josh Azudu. They need to develop some of these linemen. Obviously, they paid John Runyon Jr. $10 million a year, gave him a pretty significant contract. We saw the A'shaun Robinson, they went a little bit higher than we expected. So this is how they want to build this team. And getting a 25-year-old pass rusher who I think is an ascending player, who I didn't think played in the right system last year, to get him in here, I think this is going to be perfect. I think when you think about it, him, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau is now the third guy on the defensive line that they have to focus in on. Burns, Lawrence, Kayvon. It's just, this is what you want to see. And everyone talks about you're rebuilding. How can you trade capital? Here's the thing. This is a player that they acquired. It's going to help them win today and help them win tomorrow. He's a young player, ascending player. I have no issues with this. People want to talk about the contract. Listen, this was a guy that was going to reset the market. He's that good. Really, really thrilled about this. And kudos to Ethan, man. 4 days ago, sent me a text talking about Brian Burns. That was, you are the people's insider. Yeah, you
can, I'm the people's insider.
Yes.
Listen, when I get a scoop, I verify. Yeah. I verify again. It's not always entirely correct, but it's mostly correct. And I got all scared after the Russ, decision. But I had multiple people confirm over the last 4 days the Burns stuff. There was heavy mutual interest. I'll leave it at that. So good for Shane. Great for the defensive line. And I mean, dude, this front seven, they're going to be nasty. Like, yeah. I mean, knock on wood, man. I hope they stay healthy. But like, Burns, Kayvon, Dex, Bobby O, fuck, man. Like, they're going to be good.
The talent to be a really good pass rushing team.
Banks
is there.
Banks develops. Like,
they have. You talked about it before, the idea of it's interesting they pushed Chips in on this. And I think this was a real opportunity to get a player they feel that's still young enough where they're not really buying bad years on his contract. Right. And, you said it's only like 3 real seasons, which will take you through most of his prime. And edge rushers, it's hit or miss. But generally speaking, guys like this, they can be effective into their early 30s because the type of game, you use them a little bit less, whatever. But this is a really impactful player at a key position that's been a sore spot for a long time. We've been talking about, can we get 2 or 3 impactful guys, and Dex is great up the middle, but he can't do it by himself. They bring in Kayvon, who we were all pretty high on that selection in spite of the conjecture before the pick about who they were actually going to take. The vision of the defense is coming together. You look at some of the teams that make these deep playoff runs consistently, they spend on pass rushers. They have an army of pass rushers. Yes, it's not depth. And that they need to keep adding. It's not just, you know, we have three good guys. That's great. We need those occasional guys who can come in to spell them, because, you know, you can't play Dex 90% of the snaps and expect him to be as effective. But this is extremely exciting. This is a really fun player to watch, somebody who will be impactful at a marquee position. And he is expensive, but you're buying his prime years. So I have no qualms about the cost being the years you're getting.
I agree entirely. And what better friends to a rookie quarterback than a dominant defense?
Yes. Yes.
And shout out the Panthers having no idea what they're doing.
Bro, I was just about to bring that up. Between the McCaffrey trade and this trade, they didn't get a first. They didn't get a single first.
No, they had Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and Brian Burns, and they traded all three. They didn't get a first round pick back for either one of them.
Yep. And not only that, they had the opportunity to trade Burns to the Rams last year for two firsts and a second.
Yes.
And now he's gone for a second and a fifth.
Yeah, there's also some Giants. There should be some Giant fans up here should be ashamed of themselves. When the Giants are winning Super Bowls, Ethan, they had what? A dominating what?
Pass rush. NASCAR.
Pass rush. Yes. And the fact that people are looking at this and saying this was not a need is laughable.
You can never have enough. Never have enough pass.
They did not have enough. They had one guy that was a real pass rusher. Aziz Ojulari was never healthy, and Jahad Ward. I mean, is he going to? Is he also going to the Michigan Wolverines with Wink Martindale?
Bro, he's got like all of Giants Twitter blocked.
I mean, I hated having the.
He was literally a coach's son.
Yeah, he was. Yes, but this is excellent. I am incredibly thrilled by this. Like I said. People that are like, I thought we were building. Why are we training? This is a guy that helps you win today and tomorrow. This is not a guy that you're paying for just for 1 year. But I think the Giants had a good day. They lost two guys that were pretty important to the locker room. But they added guys that I think can be cornerstones for this team going forward.
The vision is coming together. Yeah. That's what you should be excited about. It is not about this upcoming season. It's probably not about the one after that. It is turning this roster over. And instead of the stopgap where, you know, we need to bring in six wide receivers every offseason because we have nobody, it's okay. We have this type of player. What complements Wandale? What complements, you know, Singletary? What compliments Jalen Hyatt? And then we can start to tailor the roster around the guys that Shane has drafted. And then, you know, then we can have a conversation about splurging on a free safety or on a second corner or on an extra pass rusher. That's what's exciting.
Or on a running back.
No, thank you.
I still think if they don't get a real quarterback competition at the very least this summer,
who's out there? That's the thing.
You want Jimmy or Sam Darnold?
Right. I want Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold on the Giants would be jokes. That would be funny.
I would love it. I would love it.
If somebody brought this up the other day, and I think it's worth bringing up here. It always feels like the Giants are 1 year off when it's time to do something. Like the pool of candidates for a head coach, it always feels like the cycle the year before or after they hire someone is better. Like this year, you know, there were significantly better candidates than the year they hired Dable. That's not a knock on Dable.
Right.
The cycle is better. And this year with the draft, there's three quarterbacks you would be comfortable taking at six. Next year, I mean, who's leading that class? Quinn Ewers,
Shedeur Sanders.
Oh God, no.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so it really does feel like the Giants keep drawing the short end of the stick with the cyclical stuff that's really out of their hand, and it's why it's so important they build the foundation so that when players become available, they can pounce. You know,
right?
I doubt it happens, but you know, Justin Jefferson is probably not going to be happy he's playing with Sam Darnold in his walk year, or Jimmy Garoppolo, or JJ McCarthy. You know, all it takes is one disgruntled star player, and you can be really good.
The same thing
really
applies to quarterback, too. You never know when Russell Wilson becomes available or an Aaron Rodgers becomes available. You just never know.
Exactly.
Is there a disgruntled quarterback in your guys' mind that could become available in the next 12 to 36 months?
I don't know. That depends on Sean McDermott's allegiance to Al-Qaeda.
Can I give you guys one name?
Go ahead.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
Joe Burrow.
He came to mind.
It's not implausible. I mean, I could see a world where, like, if they, because they're going to trade Higgins. They cut Joe Mixon today, which, you know, that kind of caught me off guard.
Cheap owner. Did you see their report card?
Yeah, they don't spend on any of the facilities. Yeah, because he's paying Joe Burrow, the first player in the history of the franchise to actually get real money.
I think they stay at Radisson's and get twin beds.
Oh, God.
Joe Burrow probably gets his own room, even with the two twin beds. That's the one caveat.
He pushes them together.
It's not impossible. I definitely could see it. But I do think it's either you got to wait for that or you got to trade up. You got to give the bundle of assets when the year comes around to go and get the guy.
Or you just got to get lucky sometimes. It's
like Mahomes.
Yeah, or Mahomes.
But he was still a first round pick. You know, yeah, cost some capital.
Like the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. I mean, just get like, here's what I think in this draft, right? Four guys are going to go in the top 10, top five, right? Not all four are going to be franchise quarterbacks.
No, I think maybe two. At most two, just on probability.
At most two, right? If I put it at 1.5, you're taking the over or the under?
Probably the under, in all honesty.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, so just, you're taking two then. So you got a 50% to hit in the top five, but there's going to be one of these second-round pick guys, third-round pick guys that I think like that are going to work out. Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler.
Just on probability, you look at all the draft classes with five, six, seven guys. I mean, even the Lamar Josh Allen class, that's the exception to the rule. And that was Josh Allen hurting from, you know, a project into a bona fide star. And same thing with Lamar. You know, if Lamar goes to a bad landing spot or Josh Allen goes to a bad landing spot, we're having very different conversations about both of them, in my opinion. I think landing spot, especially for toolsy guys like that. Same thing with Jaden Daniels. I think if Jaden Daniels goes to the right spot, he could be really good. If he goes to the wrong spot, he could be out of the league by the end of his first contract.
I agree. You guys want to touch on the league before we wrap this up?
Sure.
Ethan, was there any deal that non-Giants related that you absolutely loved?
Loved? No.
Hated?
Hated? I mean, I didn't
hate Gabe Davis to the Jaguars is
okay,
fucking
right,
stupid.
That's so stupid. I didn't hate the DeAndre Swift contract. I just didn't get it. So like maybe I hated it a little bit. That felt like a little rich.
Yeah. I mean, the Bears are paying for credibility because they have, you know, and it's weird because like their running backs last year weren't awful.
Ethan nailed it. Ryan Poles won't be around for the Caleb Williams era. No. He will not be around at all.
It'll be his lasting legacy.
Yeah. That actually made me laugh because I think you give him an extra couple of years. I don't think he's going to get to the...
Oh, he's getting this year. He might get next year, but...
Yeah, I think that's it. I don't think he's going to get much more than that, but that really made me laugh. Oh, man. Let's see. What can I get you guys on? I already threw that one
quarterback. Yeah, no, Jacksonville, it feels like they don't understand what they need to be doing to improve their team.
Is Justin Jefferson on the Vikings roster in week one?
Yeah. I think he plays this year for the Vikings no matter what. And then if they trade him, it'll be next year.
I agree.
Who is the Denver Broncos starting quarterback in week one?
Great question. God, yeah, maybe.
I could see Bo Nix. Did they sign a backup? I feel like they signed a quarterback in the last few days to be the backup. I could be wrong about that, but I think Bo Nix for Denver. He feels like a Sean Payton type.
Who's the Minnesota Vikings starting quarterback in week one?
Darnold, Garoppolo, or Penix?
Penix.
Actually, no. I think Penix is going in the second round, so I'll say J.J. McCarthy.
Trevor Lawrence gets paid this year or no?
Yeah.
Probably. Huge mistake, but yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa gets paid this year? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Oh, same deal.
Nah, Trevor's so much better than Tua, dude.
Yeah.
No, they both blow.
Please. Listen.
I've watched a lot of Trevor Lawrence, Ethan. It's not his fault. There's an 8-minute compilation of his wide receivers dropping passes.
Thank you. I got one more for you guys. Give me a team that nobody's talking about right now that could potentially move up for a quarterback.
Seattle.
I got one. Damn it! Yes.
I see the vision there. I have a question for you guys before we get out of here.
Yes.
Will Jim Harbaugh be successful with the Chargers?
Yes, he will.
Yes.
Yes, he will.
Okay.
Yes, he absolutely will. Because they got a good GM there. Unfortunately, they don't have fans, so that will that will make the parade kind of not fun. But yes, I Jim Harbaugh, everything he touches turns to gold. So yes, I do believe that. And you got Justin Herbert there.
Yeah,
I just wish they hired the wrong guy because I could 100% see Justin Herbert being that
rectifying the mistakes of Dave Gettleman's past.
Yeah, which by the way, that goes back to what I'm saying about these quarterbacks. You draft the wrong one. Not only do you draft the wrong one, but then you potentially miss out on a guy that comes in a year later. So be careful, guys, with this have to draft the quarterback stuff. They don't have to do anything. What they have to do is continue to add good players. Ethan, you are eyes locked in on this hockey game.
Oh, it's Islanders are down 1-0 on the power play, and it's not going well.
Yeah.
The Kings own us. Oh, that's a fucking penalty. Are you kidding me? All right.
Let's wrap up, King.
Okay. Yes. All right. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow YZNYG Daily. Nick at Nick Zerar is the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We'll see you when we see you.
Peace.
You're right. That was a penalty.
100, dude.
Straight up cross check. Okay.